This was a pre-recorded episode that was mixed and mastered at Sambaza Studios. Hello, Wasambazaji. Welcome to Sambaza Podcast, the show with the most riveting topics and conversations. I'm your host, Sambaza. Stay with us till the end for funny bloopers and rapid-fire questions. Don't forget to click and subscribe, as you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok as Sambaza Podcast. Did I mention that we are on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast? With that said, Wasambazaji, let's get this show started. Here we go.
This is Mary Kim. You're listening to Sambaza Podcast.
Welcome back to the Sambaza Podcast show. This is part two of the episode. Hope you enjoy. All right. Thank you for that. All right. So we're back in air again. So before, we were talking about how this actually, you had me really interested in this thingy where you're getting two businesses together. So we're going to part two of this. Now let's continue from where we left off. The experiences, we were talking about the experiences that you had now starting your own baby, whereas you help some other person start their own company and you grew with them all this time. And you had to learn about production, you know, marketing. This is not the same thing that you were doing with the previous company with the GPRS systems, where it was more like product. The product was different, right? We can say that. What did that teach you in terms of you as a person and you as a business, you as a person itself, and then you as a business person?
Well, I learned a lot of lessons, but I think one of the biggest lessons I learned is appreciating different seasons. And what I mean by that is I left my previous job at the top of my career. I was doing very well. I had literally like climbed all the way to the top for the most part. And then when I started my fashion business, I literally had to start from scratch. Completely different territory. I had to learn about manufacturing. I had to learn about shipping packages. I know it sounds very easy to a lot of people, but for a businesswoman or a businessman, doesn't matter, you have to be very strategic on how you're shipping, because you could end up losing a lot of money just on shipping. Shipping is not cheap. So it's those little things, nuances, that you have to know your margins. You have to pretty much account for the cost of the items, cost of doing business, how much you're buying the materials for, how much you're spending on promotions, the shipping and all that. And of course, you have to make a profit off of that. So it really, to run a profitable business, you have to factor in all those things. Thinking about where the journey of fitness set starts. It doesn't matter if it's a pants and fitness bra or whatever, any items that you're selling, from manufacturing to anything that you put on it, whether that is logos, then of course, promotions, acquiring customers. It takes a lot of effort to acquire a customer. And once you get that customer, being able to have them come back, I would say about 45 to 50% of my customers are return customers. They keep coming back. And just to keep that, it takes a lot of effort, because you got to make sure that you keep those customers happy. Because they're not just because you sold an item and you made your money, for me to do good business, I had to provide customer experience, not just customer service. And I knew that from all the experience that I had in the software world. I knew the difference between the two, customer service and customer experience. Going out of the way, how you package the product, how you talk to people, because I feel like just that conversation, the dialogue we have with your customers, whether on the phone or online or whatever, it matters. And when you treat people with respect, they're going to want to do business with you. And I think that was the biggest takeaway for me. It didn't matter if you are buying a $20 item from me or a $100 item. I treat everybody the same way with respect. And that's how I would want to be treated. And I think that's the one thing that has served me very well. So in answer to your question, what did I learn about business? Appreciate every season of the business. Learned as much as I could. And where I made mistakes, because I did. And sometimes I had to write off stuff because during COVID, my first big launch was right before COVID. And my stuff got delayed because of, I don't know if you remember, but a lot of shipments were not coming through to the U.S. And mine was caught up in that mess for 3 months. Those are things that you can't really predict. And just really understanding that it is what it is beyond your control. What can I do? How can I make it up to my customers? Granted, a lot of people were very, very understanding because none of us expected this to happen. But those are the lessons that I learned. And with that, learning how to pivot, because it's COVID, it's here. So what do? You pivot and start figuring out how to get the shipments like closer in date range, as opposed to that way you don't have any issues. And if there are any issues, at least you can mitigate those risks. So I learned about that. And
I got a question. Did you have Bea Gioni specials?
No.
You didn't have Bea Gioni specials?
I did not. And that's a very good question because, we are Kenyans and that's what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my customers would call me, like I do specials all the time. It's like I give people coupon codes. Mm-hmm. If there's a holiday, I'm running specials. Sometimes I'll reduce my merchandise by 30% to help out and for people to buy. But what you just said, a lot of people kept asking me, you're not going to give me Bea Gioni? And I had to be consistent and say, no, this is the price. And it's not easy to just be consistent and stand firm on your prices. And I had to learn, because again, remember what I told you, there are costs of doing business, cost of product, cost of shipping, cost of even when I have the merchandise here, I have a place where I have to store that stuff. Right. That is what costing me the opportunity to use that space with other things. So I have to run my business by knowing my numbers. I have to know my numbers. So for me, I was consistent. Again, I had to make sure that I treated my customers well, but I was very firm with my prices. Again, I do run specials. Almost every other month, I'm running a special. So it's not like I'm stingy. But when I decide on a price, just because you ask for a Bea Gioni, I may once in a while for the most part, I just stick to my prices.
Okay.
But those were some good lessons that I appreciated, even though some of them were very, very hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is now the business of selling clothes. You learned something new, and there was this part of the business that is now going to bring out the new Mary Kim. And this is what you're going to tell me about the new launch, the new everything. And I don't know if I need to roll the drums for this, but
the drums.
Right. Let's start. So tell us, there's a new launch, and I like this way it's going because the series that we're talking about is Women in Power, Women in the Diaspora. I told you when I was sending you the invite, I'm intrigued about women in power, especially the ones from diaspora and what they're doing in the spaces that they belong to. So you're one of them. And right now you're about to do the third thing, and we've talked about it in just sprinkles here and there. So I'm going to let you start from the beginning, how it all started, and what are we planning, and who's going to be the new Mary Kim?
That's a very good question. So I'm super excited about my new launch, which is going to be Mary Kim Coaching Boutique, specializing in minority women, specifically coaching minority women in business. Why minority women? Because for the most part, I know this population. I'm a woman. I'm a Black woman. And I know we have different challenges than other populations. A lot of Black women, they start business, but they don't know how to scale, whether they don't have the funding because banks don't want to give you money, or they don't have the skills to start to scale their business. And sometimes they have an idea, but they're very scared to just go for it. So I decided, you know what? We need to change that. We need to change that because women are smart. Women in general, just like men, we are capable of doing what men can do. But the issue that we run into with women specifically is we got so much going on. We are raising babies. I mentioned my own challenges trying to balance, a corporate career and also being a mom. And that's hard. And we women in particular, we don't set enough boundaries. We are doing a lot of work in corporate America in our businesses. Then we come home and we are doing lion's share of work. So my coaching, it's basically three things that I work on. Business, mind, because it's very important to make sure that our mindset is right. And also money. Talking about money, I want to make sure that when you make money, you're also investing the money. I am not an investor, but I teach women to make sure that they know where their money is going. They're taking care of their taxes. And also, once they get that money, how can we make that money work even harder for you? So I call it wholesome coaching because I'm not just talking about business. I'm talking about those three. And what sets me apart is, As I've told you with my story, I know how to create businesses, I know how to launch businesses, and I know how to scale businesses. So I teach those three skill sets during my coaching.
So take us through your work. Like you said, you're going to take the whole span. So let's say some random, I'm going to throw this in there, a lady from Mali, right? Mm-hmm. From a diaspora and comes to you and says, hey, Miss Kim, Miss Mary Kim, I want to start a business and I need to do maybe a laundromat type of business. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to start this business. What do I do? What is Mary Kim going to tell her? Or how are we going to do this? You know, I'm just trying to understand the way we are, you're going to sell it to the diasporans and have them come to you and what you have to offer. You did basically say, you know, there's the financial part, there's the mental part, and then there's the other part to get the funding. So kind of like walk us through. If say it's a laundromat or any option that you want to throw in. Yeah, whichever one is you're comfortable with.
All right. So as a coach, when I'm coaching business women, I separate consultation from coaching because those are two different things.
Ah, okay, okay.
With consultation, basically, I'm helping you and I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you go to the bank and ask for a loan. I'm telling you write a business plan and all that. With coaching, you bring an idea and I coach you through how to execute that. So it's a series of a lot of back and forth me asking you a question. Okay, you want to start this laundry like mart business, like the example that you just gave me. Okay, what is it exactly are you going to be doing? Is it like people come and you have those machines and they put coins in the machines and all that? Who is your target audience? How are you going to position this? So basically, it's your idea as a business person, and I'm asking you questions to help you move the needle forward.
Oh,
I'm also looking, it's not consultation. Consultation is a completely different thing. I may even do stuff for you as a consultant, but coaching is different. And the idea here is, that's your idea as a business person. I'm your coach. I'm walking like hand in hand with you and guiding you on the right path to go. But I'm not doing it for you. I'm not going to, like in the case of what you just said, a laundromat, the first thing I may ask this person is, okay, walk me through your vision of this laundromat, because I want to understand what is it that they are looking for. And then we walk through that journey. So I may ask them, okay, you have a product. How are we going to position this in the market? And they may say, I don't know. And at that point, I will say, okay, since this is a brand new business, we need to start thinking about your central marketing platform. How are we going to get the word out there? And I work with that person, but I'm not doing the actual consultation and doing the market research for them. It's a fine line, but it's two completely different things.
So you're not going to go to the area and say, you know what, on this corner here, I see there's one laundromat over there, and there's another laundromat over there. You may not want to do that. That's consultancy. So here you're just walking them through the idea and say, okay, have you looked at the area? Have you done these feasibility studies? What is this that we're going to do? How much profit do you think you're going to make? And then now you're saying, okay, have you looked for loans? Okay. Now, will you tell them what loans are available, or you'll tell them, okay, go search for this type of loans, or is it?
We'll talk about the money. With my coaching, we actually deal with 9 different frameworks, I call them. And I'll give you an example. The first thing that I may ask is, we call it weigh your worth. Okay, so you're starting this laundromat. What do you have right now that we can use for your advantage? Like, have you done this business before? Do you have any IP, intellectual property for this? What is it that you're bringing with you that we can help or can help push this business along? So I'm asking this question because the reason why a lot of people get scared is because they think they have nothing to offer when they start a new business. And someone who is starting a laundromat business, they may think that, oh my God, it's a lot. I don't know anything about this business. I've never done this kind of business. But once we start doing this work your or weigh your worth exercise, I may even ask them to do an assessment, a personality assessment, because I want to know, where do your strengths lie? If you're good in marketing, then that's probably not something that we need to worry too much about. I need to start helping you figure out these other things where you have a weakness, or rather they are not your strength. So I'm guiding them and asking these questions to help them think about how to move the needle forward to their benefit. So we work on different, like I said, 9 different things, and all those different frameworks, they come to intellectual property, identity, and the other one is implementation. Because if you have a business, you got to implement, you got to do something about it. So there are steps that we can walk through and I can suggest, but as a coach, I'm not prescribing. It's not prescriptive, it's coaching. Consultation is prescriptive. Because what I don't want ever to do is take over a session on how I would run the business if it was my idea. I wanted to continue being my client's idea, and I'm there to guide them and coach them.
And what's the common myth about your job or field of expertise?
A lot of people think that business consultants are therapists. Like sometimes I'll be coaching someone and they may have a breakdown, which does happen. And it may be because either they're overwhelmed, they're not getting funding, and they really may have a mental breakdown. And at that point, I have to basically support this person without prescribing anything, because I'm not a licensed therapist. So there is that fine line. A coach is a coach, is not a therapist. So a lot of people think that business coaches are therapists, because we do, in a way, give therapeutic advice, but we are not therapists.
kind of like you massage the brain and tell it, hey, you know, you can do this. You can do this. Right. Okay.
It's a lot of mindset. And to be honest with you, a lot of business people, men and women, most of their roadblocks or hiccups along the way is because of the mind. So we work a lot on the mindset to clear the mindset, remove the fog so they can see clearly. And also sometimes they're looking for validation. You may have an idea, and then a lot of people I work with, their friends are not supportive. Their family members think they are crazy. So they need an environment, a non-judgmental environment where somebody can listen to their ideas and coach them and help them and guide them without being judgmental. So for me, my job as a coach is not to judge my clients. It doesn't matter what I think that the idea is crazy. Of course, if the idea is way out there, I'm going to tell you, I don't think that will work. But at the end of the day, it's their decision whether they want to move forward with it. But to your point earlier, I create that positive, non-judgmental environment so my clients can keep pushing the needle and meeting and hitting the goals that they have for themselves. And one of the things that I work on at the beginning of every session is a vision. I want to work with my clients on a vision to make sure that they are very super clear about what is it that they are looking for. So you can't come to me and tell me, hey, I want to start a laundry mart. Okay, where did that come from? Let's talk about it. How does that look like to you in 6 months? What have you thought about? When you think about being an owner for a laundry mart, what do you see yourself day in, day out? So we work to clarify that vision because it's very important to have that clear vision before we start working as a coach-client relationship.
Okay, nice. Thank you. One moment, my Sambaza people. We will be right back. Stay on.
This is Mary Kim. You're listening to Sambaza Podcast.
I feel like I'm being coached right now. And I'm going to throw this out. This is just a fun question. What is your biggest pet peeve about you around a business or around anything that you do in terms of business? What would really get you worked up?
I wouldn't say worked out. It's more like disappointed. Sometimes I talk to people and they clearly don't see their potential. Like you see somebody who is so hard on themselves. They don't see anything good in themselves. But to me as a coach, I'm looking at this person and I'm like, dude, man, do you know how much you bring to the table? But I think it's because we are surrounded with so much negativity to where sometimes people can't breathe. Like I feel like they are so scared of speaking out and talking about their ideas because they're afraid of being judged. And I just wish we could change that because I really truly believe that we all have a $1 million idea somewhere. We just need somebody to help nourish and create that environment so we can be free to talk about it. And I also want people to stop shooting for six figures only. Like, think beyond that. Six figure is good, but I think where we are right now, that people need to be open-minded and think about the seven figure. Six figure is good, but if you can make a six figure, you can make a seven figure.
That's when, you know, you start massaging their brain and telling them, hey, you know, you can do this. Okay.
Right.
Where do we see Mary Kim Boutique in 5 years? What are we looking at in 5 years?
My goal is actually to create, to scale Mary Kim Boutique. And I truly believe that simplicity scales. The way I'm going to set up my company is to probably have one flagship product and maybe two supporting products. That way, when at the right time, I'm going to hire coaches and I'm going to train those coaches so they can, I'm duplicating myself basically. That is the goal, to duplicate myself. That way I can step back and I can have the coaches also helping with coaching, because I truly believe that business coaching is needed. It's been needed, and this is a time. And if COVID taught us anything, is that your job is not guaranteed. Even the best companies, they will lay you off if you are not producing or if they're not profitable. Sometimes it's not even the employees. The company is not profitable, they'll let you go. So I want people to be comfortable starting their own jobs. It could be a side job or you're working your full-time job or whatever. And I want to be able to provide these coaching services to as many women as I can.
Great. As we go on with this, I wanted to find out more regarding where you're going to be based at. Are you going to be based in Florida? Are you going to be like a satellite business? Are you going to be online throughout? Or will we have an office that you'll walk into and say, hey, I'm here, I want to sit down, I'm looking at you? Or we're going to do something online, like, say, for example, you hold Zoom meetings or whichever media we use, not actually Zoom. I'm not being paid for Zoom, but I'm just giving an example.
Right.
What would you be?
It'll be satellite. It'll be, and the reason behind that is because I want it to be accessible to as many people as possible. I am looking forward to doing business in Kenya as well. I want to coach the awesome women in Kenya as well. And the other thing that I'm doing, in addition to group coachings and private one-on-one coaching, at some point, I do plan on opening a membership club. And the membership club is basically going to be an environment where women can come and talk about business, exchange ideas, again, non-judgmental. They can have their quiet time to where they can have brainstorming sessions, and we can have office hours on Fridays to where I do live coaching. You know, like it's an open mic. People can come over and get open live coaching. But once a year, we'll have in-person event. And this does not have to be in Florida. We could go to Puerto Rico if we want to. We could go to Mexico. We could go to Kenya. The sky is not even the limit. I want us to be open-minded and think like the world is open. We don't have to be in the U.S. We can go wherever we want. But I do want us to have that once a year event to where we can talk about business. And that will be very, very calculated. I'm thinking that we will not just do coaching and talk about coaching, but we will have probably, I'll bring a coach who can help women with telling their own stories, because stories are very, very powerful. I want people to
be
comfortable telling their own stories. So I may bring somebody to do that. Pretty much going to have somebody who can help with money, because money is a big thing for me. And we'll talk about money, but I want to bring a CPA, somebody who can talk to women about the importance of making sure that they're using the right strategies to save money on taxes, and also to make sure they don't get in trouble with Uncle Sam. So that's another thing I'm going to bring, probably bring an investor, but it needs to be well-rounded. This is not just me coaching women. I want to provide an experience. Just like I was talking about customer experience, I want to provide a business experience to where when you come through my boutique, you not only get those coaching services, but other subsequent services after that that will be provided just being in my community.
Okay. And are you online right now? Do you have any handles, social handles that you can share with our listeners so that when they come, you know, when they go online, or are you going to do a launch, special launch where you'll start bringing out all the products out and where you're going to be at? Let us know if you have anything out there.
So we don't have, we haven't launched yet. We are launching in November, but when we do launch, it's going to be Mary Kim is the social handle that I'm going to use. Right now we are on Facebook. We are actually on Instagram, but we are rebranding on Instagram, but it's going to say Mary Kim once we rebrand.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, I have a few questions I want to ask you. These will kind of be summing up everything. Right now, where you are, I consider you very successful as a woman in business in diaspora. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would urge myself to think big. I wasn't thinking big enough when I was 18. And at the time, it felt like I was, especially, you know, I was getting into a new field, new area that I knew nothing about. And I did that. And I'm proud that I did those things. But I wish I started a business at the same time. In other words, instead of just growing my corporate gig and, you know, like growing my career for those 18 years, I wish, I'm glad I did that, but I wish at the same time I did it in parallel with a business. Because if I did that, I would be way further than where I am. It would have been difficult because I was also raising children, but I think it's doable. I would urge my 18-year-old self to think big, think big, think big.
Okay. And what has been your least favorite job to date? Any job that you've done?
So I was, when I was in college, I was a teller. This bank called Regions Bank. I don't know if it's still available. It was in Alabama and Georgia at the time. I was a teller. And while I liked that job, the one thing I hated about it is walking through drive-through. It was just really not my thing. I didn't care for it. So I guess I would say being a teller, working through in a drive-thru was my least favorite job.
Okay. Well, this is one last question we ask our conversation, when we have our conversation, and I ask my guests, what is the one thing that people don't know about you? You've never told before.
Whoa. You're gonna put me on the spot. One thing that people don't know about me, I hate cooking.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's really a secret. People who are close to me, they do know that, but I hate cooking.
You know how to cook chapati?
I do, but I have not touched chapati in over 20 years.
What? Wait. You haven't cooked chapati in 20 years?
Nope.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting thing, because you know the way Kenyans ask us, you don't know how to cook chapo? You don't know how to cook chapo?
Yeah, a lot of people will be just clutching their pearls when they heard that. But I know how to cook chapo. I don't like cooking chapo. So I've not cooked chapo in over 20 years. It's just not my thing. And yeah, ways around it, I still get chapos. I'm just not cooking them.
You're right. We do the same.
Yeah.
I know how to cook, but I cook chapos, but I haven't cooked chapos in a minute. But that's a different story. The story is about you. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I've had the most interesting conversation today in this two-part series with you, Miss Mary Kim. And I'm hoping that we could have a different conversation another time. You're welcome to come to the Sambaza podcast. It'll be a pleasure to have you again. And I'm really intrigued about some other stuff. Maybe we'll talk about in the background, and then maybe catch on one of these series that I'll bring up in. But this particular series that we're talking about, Powerful Women in the Diaspora, I think you fit and suit well for this. And I'm glad you came on to the Sambaza podcast. And we'll be glad, like I said, we'll be glad to have you again. Thank you again for taking your time. And I'm sure our Sambazaji will be happy to listen to you and give you your props. And I want to say congratulations on your new business. And what I'd like to do is give us a few words before we say goodbye.
It's been a pleasure, you know, being here. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate the opportunity. This is what I would like to say to your listeners, specifically women, because I'm a woman and my target market is women. And this episode, obviously, is about women. What I would like to say to women is take care of yourself. Self-care is super, super important. It does not matter if you're a businesswoman or if you're employed or if you're a stay-at-home mom. The way I look at it, you cannot serve from an empty cup. It's like when we go into, you're taking a flight and you get into an aircraft, what is the first thing that they tell you? In case of anything, put your mask on first before you help anyone else. It's the same thing in life. Take care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and intellectually. Once you fill that cup, you can serve everyone else from your overflow.
Amen.
You don't want to get burned out. You totally do not want to get burned out. And especially if you have children. Nobody wants to be around a mom who is snappy, who is angry all the times, and who is slamming doors. And the reason why some of us act that way is because you're tired. You're burnt out. You have nothing to give. So let's avoid that. Let's make self-care a priority. Self-care is self-preservation. It's not selfish. And that's my word.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you again for being an awesome guest at Sambaza Podcast. And you have a good evening. Thank you so much, Miss Mary Kim. Pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Mary Kim. We will be right back.
Even record.
So you have to do it again.
All right. So you know the words. Okay. This is, and we will be right back.
This is Mary Kim. We will be right back. Let me do that again.
Well, okay. That concludes our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to Sambaza. Stay tuned next week as we'll present to you a new episode. Meanwhile, let's chat through Instagram and Twitter at Sambaza Podcast. Or you can send me an email via sambazapodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can send me a voicemail message if you have the Anchor app. Let's talk and chat. Peace and love, Wasambazaji.